This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's Thanksgiving week, huh? And it's our last show together, which means we packed it full of Thanksgiving festive options. We've got Ask Amy Anything with a Thanksgiving bent. We've got our Turkey Day draft coming up in the final segment of the show. We're going to broadcast it live on Twitch TV. If you've never seen a live broadcast on Twitch, well, that makes two of us. But twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet. Final show before Thanksgiving, so we want to do something fun because we're thankful for you as faithful listeners and even those who hate us because you keep tuning in. Also, if you're going to miss it live on Twitch, we're going to throw it up on our YouTube channel a little bit later, our Turkey Day draft. If you'd like to see the options, Pete put the list together, and the list is up right now at Amy After Hours. You can also send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We've not forgotten that part of the hump show, and vote a few more minutes for TD of the week. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We always love when we can snag a few minutes with Kevin Kugler, longtime NFL on Fox broadcaster and Westwood One play-by-play voice. He will be working this Thanksgiving weekend, though he's got Friday in Kansas City as the Chiefs host the Raiders. Kevin, most recently, you did Vikings and Bears, and I'm really excited to talk to you about the NFC North. I know you've spent a lot of time there. Let's begin with Minnesota. As you watch this team play, what gives you an indication that the Vikings have real staying power?
Here's what I liked about the Vikings. There was a lot to like, really. I mean, Sam Darnold hasn't turned the ball over in the last couple of games, so he's playing nice, clean football. That's the first thing. Secondly, you have two excellent wide receivers, and so Justin Jefferson draws a ton of attention. Jordan Addison has a big game like he did this weekend. Three, the return of T.J. Hockenson I think is huge for this team because – when we've seen it throughout his career, two-time Pro Bowler, got hurt with the ACL last year. He came out, had 100-plus yards against the Bears. And then four, Aaron Jones' health and ability to run the football. You notice this year in the league, there's a little bit more emphasis on the run game again. Running backs are kind of having a little bit of a resurgence this year. And I think Aaron Jones being able to be healthy for the Vikings adds that extra dimension to this Minnesota offense. I really like what I've seen from Kevin O'Connell's team. And prepping for them last week, they're controlling the football. They're getting off to good starts. Sam Darnold, when he takes care of the ball, this offense really clicks. And, I mean, who had them at 9-2 at this point in the season?
No doubt. And the only team better in that division is Detroit. People raving about the Lions after years of them being a team of futility. What stands out to you about the change in culture and the way this team now approaches, attacks football?
Well, and you said the right word, because it's culture with Dan Campbell. That's the, every time you talk with him, every time you go into the facility, you notice the culture that they've built first, whether it's from talking with Dan Campbell, whether it's Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator. You talk to the players, they've all bought in to what Dan Campbell has preached since the moment he got there. And you've got so many guys who bought in early and have just continued to basically move the football down the field with that culture in mind, Jared Goff being paramount among them. I mean, it's hard to think of it now because of the way Jared Goff has played over the course of this season. Jared Goff was seen as sort of like the placeholder for a year until they could use their first-round pick after they got him to then go out and get a quarterback. And he played so well his first year with Detroit that they said, you know what, we can go get Aiden Hutchinson. We don't have to go get Jared Goff or a replacement for Jared Goff. We think this guy can be the guy. And he's been the guy. He's been the guy all year. He's really been the guy throughout his career with the Lions. And this guy's not even 30 years old yet. So you're still talking about a relatively young quarterback surrounded by two good running backs, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. You've got an excellent wide receiver core. You've got a defense that has been hit hard by injury. And that's my only worry if you're a Lions fan right now, is no Hutchinson, no Anzalone right now. Two really big parts of that defense that have keyed them throughout the course of the year at various times. But I do enjoy this Lions team, and that culture is so strong. And they came into it and unabashed said, we should be going to the Super Bowl this year. And they are the best team in football that I've seen in person. I've not seen the Eagles yet in person. I won't see the Chiefs in person until this weekend. From what I've seen in person, the Lions are the best team I've seen this year.
Do you remember when he first did his introductory press conference, the whole biting kneecaps thing, and then that trade of Jared Goff from the Rams to the Lions? And I think a lot of the reaction was kind of smirking about the fact that the Lions were going to start this brand new tenure with a quarterback that the Rams no longer wanted. And it was almost considered like a cast off and kind of a joke. Same old Lions, not going to have a quarterback, not going to be a winner.
There's a ton of skepticism. We had our TV crew had his very first Lions game. And so we went in, you remember when the press conferences were happening at the beginning of the year, everybody was talking about a Starbucks order. There was a lot of conversation about Dan Campbell's Starbucks order because it was some sort of wacky, lots of caffeine Starbucks order. And so our producer, Mark Teitelman, who now produces Thursday Night Football for Amazon, we've got a Starbucks gift card, and we brought it to our first meeting with Dan Campbell. Like, hey, we want to fund your Starbucks for the rest of this week so that you can, you know, be at your top level for your Lions coaching debut. And he laughed and he thought it was really funny. And then they went out and played an interesting game, that opening game. But everybody is so used to being skeptical of Detroit. And I think you could say that about Detroit anything. Detroit Tigers, oh, they're not going to compete. And all of a sudden, they're the Detroit Tigers competing for the playoffs. Detroit Lions, come on. They were 0-whatever not too many years ago. This isn't your father's Lions. Maybe it's your grandfather's Lions when they were competing for championships way back in the day. Because this team is for real. They all buy in. They're well coached. It's a coaching staff full of guys who played this game and played at a high level. I mean, Mark Brunell has done such an amazing job with Jared Goff as the quarterback's coach. What a great resource for Jared Goff. You're talking to a guy who's been there, who's done that, who's played at the highest level and succeeded at the highest level with the Jaguars. And now he's coaching you and helping you along. And people forget Jared Goff's been to a Super Bowl, so it's not like he's never been on the biggest stage. I'm so impressed by what I've seen consistently this year with this Detroit Lions team.
What is Dan Campbell like when he's not on the sidelines, when you're just talking about football?
He is exactly the same person you see in the press conference, which to me is really rare. You know, sometimes a guy puts on a public face and then privately he's something else. Dan Campbell is exactly what you see when you watch him in a press conference, when you watch him on the sidelines. He's intense, he's passionate, and he is very engaged in whatever is happening at that moment, whether it's a conversation with broadcasters, whether it's a play on the field. I am unabashedly a fan of Dan Campbell. I think he's done a phenomenal job with what was the hardest job in the NFL. And I say was because that's past tense. This is not the hardest job anymore. They've done a terrific job from ownership on down, recommitting to building this franchise into a winner. And they did it. Look, they hired away my broadcast partner my first year at Fox. They took Chris Spielman right out of the booth and they put him in the front office to help him rebuild a franchise that he loves. I don't know if it was because he was working with me that he was so eager to leave before the season was even over, or if it was the opportunity. And I don't really want to ask because I don't want to find out. But we're going to assume it was the opportunity, and it looks like that's paid off for him too.
Kevin Kugler is with us here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Westwood One, and Fox play-by-play announcer, and buried in football this time of the year, including Thanksgiving. I've actually never been to a football game over a Thanksgiving weekend other than, say, high school when I was younger. What's that atmosphere like when it's the holiday and fans have their traditions?
In a place like Kansas City, it's always fun, and you just kind of ramp it up a little bit more when everybody's relaxed because it's the holiday weekend. And so Kansas City is always one of those collegiate atmospheres, which is, to me, a little more ramped up, a little more rambunctious, a little more wild, a big, big tailgating atmosphere outside. And I can't imagine that it'll be any different. And it's the perfect time of day. It's 2 o'clock central time in the afternoon for kickoff. Those guys can be in there with their griddles out. There'll be plenty of food in the parking lot. Everybody will be nice and tailgated by the time that thing opens up. And at 2 o'clock, they'll be in there because, look, the Raiders are struggling. We all know it. We're still trying to figure out who's actually going to start at quarterback for the Raiders on Friday. And Kansas City smells blood. I don't care what the records are of these two teams. When the Raiders and Chiefs play, nobody wants to be the loser in that game. And Kansas City, you look at the record, and they appear to be dominant, even though they're winning all of their games seemingly by one score this season.
I can't remember the last time Kansas City blew out an opponent, and Patrick Mahomes mentioned it following the Carolina game. He said it would be nice to have a couple blowouts where we weren't having to feel that stress in the fourth quarter. What does that say to you? The Super Bowl champion, the toughest out in sports, does not blow out opponents the way that Detroit does.
I don't ever get concerned about it because I watched them last year. And if you remember last year, there was a lot of concern with Kansas City because the offense wasn't doing anything. What are they doing? They were kind of pedestrian through the middle point of the season last year, and they limped along at times. And then they got to the playoffs and they go and they win the Super Bowl. To me, as long as Andy Reid is coaching, Patrick Mahomes is playing quarterback at a high level, it's similar to me the way the Patriots were with Tom Brady. I didn't know what you had during the regular season, and sometimes I wasn't sure it even mattered. There was always the thought process around the football world that there were times where Bill Belichick would be like, let's just mix up some rotations and let's just see what we can do because it's week 9 and I want to experiment a little bit with what's going on. And I sometimes get the sense with Kansas City, especially last year, you know, let's see what we can do with this week. Maybe we'll try to throw the ball more to this guy this week just because we can. And get to the playoffs, and then they crank it up. Now, I know it's not that simple, but it sometimes feels that way with Kansas City. You'd rather win those games than lose them. And to me, a team that knows how to win close games is really well established for the postseason, because more often than not, that's what you're going to find in the postseason. You're going to find good teams that play close games, and there is something to be said for being able to win that. Now, I will also say there's something to be said for what the Lions have done. And I don't know, you see this too often in this league, which is blow out the bad teams that they play. We had them against the Titans. They blew them out. And you just don't see it regularly like they've done. But they played the Titans, they played the Jaguars, and they crushed them in both of those opportunities. That's a rare thing in this league because it is still difficult to blow teams out to that level, regardless of the record going into the game.
Kevin, this is a total tangent. My big fear is that Bill Belichick is going to decide he likes broadcasting so much and doesn't miss the stress of being on the sidelines, and we may never see him coach a football game again. Wouldn't that be odd?
It would especially be odd for me for Bill Belichick, because it has been strange this year not seeing him on the sidelines and seeing him yuck it up in the broadcast booth from time to time. That, to me, is a puzzler. Not because I don't think he's good, because quite honestly, I think he brings a ton of insight when he's on the air. But it's just not anything I ever expected to see from Bill Belichick after his long, unbelievable coaching career. I still don't think he's done. I think he's going to end up somewhere next season. There's a lot of rumors. Will it be in Jacksonville? Will it be somewhere else? They're going to have still their franchise quarterback plus a first-round pick that's going to be very, very high. Perhaps that's a spot that he looks at. But it would be strange for me to think that we have seen the last of him on the sidelines, and that of all the things that would claim him, broadcasting would be the guy who was never particularly effusive in his press conferences. That's where he ends up as a broadcaster and not as a coach again.
Extremely ironic. You had a chance to see the Chargers not that long ago. Jim is clearly making a big change there. What's it like to have him back in the NFL?
It's not surprising to see him have success because he's won every single place he's been a head coach. Every single place. I saw them earlier in the year on that dual Monday night game. We got the chance to go to Arizona in October and see them play the Cardinals. Arguably their worst game of the year offensively. They didn't get anything done against the Arizona defense, and they lost that game. But watching what he's been able to do, and you knew having him with a grade A quarterback, he was going to make that quarterback better. He has. Justin Herbert is better today than he was last year. And B, you knew he was going to figure out a way to motivate this team to win enough games in what might be the best division in football. And I say might because I'm sure there'd be some arguments with others, including the NFC North. But that division, certainly in the AFC, is incredibly challenging when you have the Chiefs, you have the resurgent Broncos, who have looked great, and all of a sudden Bo Nix is hot on the heels for a Rookie of the Year award. You have the Chargers, who are playing solid football. And I know the Raiders' record is bad. Somebody's got to lose a bunch of games in that division. And if they had a quarterback that was stable right now at that Raiders team, there's two or three other wins that they would have this season because they have some nice pieces in Las Vegas. So seeing Harbaugh in the NFL and winning is not anything I'm surprised with. He's a unique personality. There's no doubt about that. But he's not unique to winning because that's what he does everywhere he goes as head coach.
Kevin Kugler with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. And busy week for him. Really busy fall because of the all-consuming nature of football. But also doing college basketball. I'm trying to wrap my brain around some of these new Big Ten matchups or even SEC matchups that don't seem to fit or make sense. You've been doing the job a long time. How does that change the way you prepare or get ready for games that they're new?
Yeah, you have to learn all of these new teams all of a sudden. Like, who are these teams that I'm looking for? Who am I watching right now? What am I seeing from these teams? I've seen some of them when we get to the NCAA tournament. For example, Oregon is a team I've known a very long time, mainly because I understand the style that they play, because Dana Altman was in my backyard in Omaha as the head coach of Creighton for so many years, and I've gotten the chance to see him over the years at Oregon. So I have a little bit of a feel for them. For USC, I mean, they brought in 11 transfers this year. So it's a brand new team from last year. I mean, and that's the world of college basketball these days. UCLA brought in a bunch of new guys. They're a nice, solid team. Purdue doesn't have Zach Edey, obviously a traditional Big Ten, but a different team without the big man who's now in the NBA. There's a lot of interesting new matchups to learn this year, but college basketball is going to be so different to cover from now on, because so much movement happens in the college game that every single year you find somebody that came from somewhere that you've never heard of that all of a sudden is making a play. You know, we had a guy last night in the game from Green Bay that had transferred in from NAIA Langston, and he put up 30 on Ohio State. I mean, you're just talking about guys that are coming out of nowhere because the portal is wide open and everybody's scouring everywhere to find somebody to help them win in this unique era of college athletics.
As much as I understand, even before all of these changes in college sports, that coaching is an exhausting venture, and guys and gals who go all in, it really does take you away from a lot of, you know, your personal life and requires all of you. But I can't even imagine now in this environment, and you hear more and more people who are walking away, like Tony Bennett, I don't know, at least bittersweet that you're losing some of the greats, and it does appear as though they just don't want to or can't keep up with the landscape in college sports.
I think it's so frustrating. I had a coach tell me one time at the college basketball level, a prominent coach in a big time program, who said, we fought for decades to keep agents out of the game. And then we handed the game over to agents. And that's exactly what's happened. All of a sudden, when a coach needs to find something or a sports information person needs to find something, they don't necessarily go to the kid anymore. They go to their representative. They go to their agent right now. It's very much a pro style of dealing with the athletes without the pro guardrails, there's more changes that have to come. I don't know that this model is sustainable as it currently is for college athletics. I think you're going to see more of a contract situation down the road as we fully embrace this pay-for-play model, because I don't know that you can keep it going the way it is right now without having the whole thing fall apart. There's got to be more guardrails, something in there to make this a more sustainable situation, because right now it is not.
What do you do with all your frequent flyer miles, Kevin?
I don't know. I still have them. They're all just sitting there. They look at me and they say, look, how big can this number go on this frequent flyer mile number? And maybe I'll use them someday. And, you know, I fly enough, they never expire. So someday I'll just, maybe I'll go around the world. But you know how it is.
Nice.
After you travel all year, the last thing you want to do is travel somewhere.
Yes, that's so true. Where will you take your Thanksgiving meal then?
Thanksgiving meal will be at home in Omaha, because I will, since we live in Omaha, I can drive to Kansas City. So I will enjoy Thanksgiving with my family, and then I will drive down to Kansas City and I will do the Chiefs game for Westwood One on Friday. And then I will drive back and go to Jacksonville for the weekend with Fox, and then start a whole nother week and a whole new month. If you asked me what was coming up then, I don't really have any idea. We're a day-to-day thing here, Amy. It's every day we look at the calendar and say, is there a game today? Yes. Okay. What am I doing? That? Okay, great.
Nice. It's hard to believe we're on the cusp of December, but to go along with that, I'll be celebrating my one-year anniversary of being married, and when my husband and I entered the barn where we had our reception, we walked into the Imperial March. The DJ who we had hired to do the wedding, he found out about our musical choice, of course, and he gave us Star Wars lightsabers to go along with. And so I don't know if it's ever been done before. Maybe it has, but we felt pretty creative walking in, being introduced as husband and wife to the Imperial March with lightsabers. I feel like that puts me in a special Star Wars club, Kev.
I can't imagine there's been too many people, especially who blend sports and nerddom the way you and I both do, proudly, by the way.
Yes.
I can't imagine there's anybody who could really blend the two together quite like you do. I mean, that's a rare trait to be able to say that and then dive right into the NFC Central or the NFC North or the whatever you want to talk about. There's a lot of different things that you could blend. But lightsaber reception and the National Football League, that's not a combination. That's not peanut butter and jelly.
That's why we're special, Kevin. We can do it seamlessly. Seamlessly.
Absolutely. And we're proud of it.
Well, it's always good to hear you. I see you very little, but I do hear you a lot on TV. Every now and then we'll catch you on camera. But working for Fox also has Westwood One and the Kansas City game this weekend, which will be, well, I guess it's Friday. So this is new Black Friday thing. But exciting always to cross paths and to have you on the show. So happy Thanksgiving to you. And thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and to your husband as you guys celebrate another Thanksgiving as husband and wife. We'll catch up again probably sometime in May or June when you need to kill some time during the off season.
That is not true. We don't use you, Kevin Kugler, as a way to fill time. First of all, I don't do that on my show. We always have creative, very entertaining topics and features for you all. But when we reached out to him, his response was, you don't write, you don't call. It's a busy time of year, but we never forget our Star Wars nerddom. And truth be told, when Kevin and I do communicate, it's usually about Star Wars. It's not about football unless we're getting ready to do an interview here on the show. So Kevin's terrific. I've been listening to him longer than I've been at this network. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, which is about an hour and 15 minutes away. Our first ever Turkey Day draft, our first ever live broadcast on Twitch. That is in the final hour, and we're going to essentially try to fill up our table by picking the best items, ones that will make a perfect spread and also keeping our opponent from getting the best items. That's kind of how the draft goes, right? It will be packaged for YouTube. once we are done with it, but live on twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet. Ahead, the newest college football playoff rankings are out. We're getting closer and closer to championship weekend. And of course, the playoff that will be expanded to a dozen teams this year for the first time. I don't know how many people would have a big exam or a big project due right before Thanksgiving, but it could be possible, I suppose, the way that education works these days. I know my kids at Sunday school this past weekend were just excited to have a half day on Wednesday, but I suppose it couldn't be the case that there are college kids who are working on big projects or something they've got to get done before they can get away for Thanksgiving. Maybe you're traveling. Oh, my goodness. Millions and millions of Americans are already on the roads and the highways and the byways or headed to the airport. And there is a real fear, a stress and anxiety about travel at Thanksgiving. So I know a lot of people are either out late or up early to be ready for what's to come. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on YouTube, on our Facebook page, and then at Amy After Hours on Twix. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We're just over an hour away. Latest college football rankings revealed on Tuesday, and not a whole lot of changes, though some, of course. The way that I try to look at these rankings, a grain of salt. Maybe this is unfair to say, but I do believe that sometimes these rankings are used as conversation starters. They're more about keeping the playoff rankings and the committee in the general headlines and top of mind, as opposed to actually giving you a peek at what they're doing. So that means they still have a lot of flexibility for what's to come in early December. The top four stay the same for the third week in a row. So we've had four installments now of the rankings, and the last 3 weeks, the top four have remained unchanged. They've remained the same. Oregon, Ohio State, remember big victory over Indiana this past weekend, Texas, and Penn State. Those are your top four. But we now have to consider the top dozen. Indiana fell five spots to number 10, so that was the big plummet. That was the massive change because Indiana was previously undefeated, but the Hoosiers, after taking a lead over the Buckeyes, they were beaten rather handily. So now Indiana is number 10, dropping the five spots, but it's still in the mix, if you will, for a college football playoff bid if they can beat Purdue. But that's, yeah, Purdue is 1-10. So we still have yet to see how the committee will apply finally when it comes to these 12, not the Big 12 necessarily, because the Big 12 is actually in a position where it could be a mess. Brandon Marcello of CBS Sports HQ was asked about the biggest loser from these latest rankings. And he pointed to the Big 12 right away. And this is a theme that you're seeing from analysts. There are analysts who believe the Big 12 is in dire straits just by looking at the rankings as they stand right now.
At 16 is Arizona State. They're the highest one in the Big 12. 18 is behind them at Iowa State. But look at the team that they're sandwiching. Tulane at number 17. Why do I mention that? Well, they're in the AAC. If they continue to win out, what happens if the Big 12 ends up having a three-loss Big 12 champion? Which is possible. Why do I say that? Because there's nine teams still battling for the Big 12 championship game spot right now. So it's possible. Possible, not likely, possible. We could be talking about the Big 12 being completely left out of the playoff if Tulane keeps winning and then grabs that other spot as a fifth highest ranked conference champion. Could you imagine that? The Big 12 being shut out. Very unlikely, but you look at their rankings, the committee's certainly kind of teasing that a little bit. Even, by the way, Tulane lost at home earlier this year to a Big 12 team, Kansas State. And Kansas State is ranked below Tulane right now.
Again, take everything with a grain of salt, because I do agree with Brandon Marcello on CBS Sports HQ that this is a bit of a tease. He maybe didn't intend it that way, but I think that there are some liberties taken with the playoff committee when it comes to these early set of rankings, only just to, again, gauge reaction, see what type of drama they can drum up. And that, of course, means that you will want to pay attention even more so when the games are played the following weekend. Keep in mind, The college football playoff is controlled by the power conferences. It's about money. Money, 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 money. That's what it's about. And so you need to know that they're trying to put together a system, in this case, revealing the rankings in the walk up to that final weekend. They're trying to do it in a way that keeps you engaged and keeps you hooked, keeps you on the hook so that you continue to tune in. According to Ward Manuel, who's the chair of the College Football Playoff Committee, Indiana played well at times against Ohio State, which is why the Hoosiers are still there in the top 12. But it was Notre Dame that replaced the Hoosiers at number 5 following a rout of an Army team that was previously undefeated. Now Army's out of the top 25. So there are some teams that don't have any margin for error. Miami, Georgia, Tennessee, SMU, all still in the top 10 as well. And how about Alabama? Alabama falling out of this because of that loss to Oklahoma. That's really where the SEC saw a bit of a seismic shift. So Alabama slid a half dozen spots, didn't even have a touchdown at Oklahoma. Ole Miss dropped 5 spots because of the loss to Florida, and Texas A&M also plummeted 5 spots, even though the game against Auburn went to 4 overtimes. And then Georgia and Tennessee, they were able to move up 3 spots each. So it's a lot of movement among the SEC teams. Interesting, too, to think about this college football playoff committee in view of losses. And that was a question Ward Manuel was asked on ESPN following the big reveal, is how do you place value on the losses, or how do you gauge losses when it comes to a power conference team or losses in a conference with multiple overtimes? Because that's a major part of the equation, is the L's.
I think the appetite is there to rank the teams as we see them. And if a team with one more loss than a team in front of them, and we feel like they should be ahead of them, then we've shown that we will do that.
Don't in any way devalue the eye test when it comes to the committee and the debates that take place. We know that they're not allowed to use the rankings, the ones that come out weekly, in any way, shape, or form. And so they are allowed to start from scratch. They say that's what they do every week. Start from scratch and put together a brand new playoff ranking, not based on the previous week, but based on what they've seen that week and then the full body of work to that point in the season. It's volatile, but I always like the chaos. So your latest college football playoff rankings, even as we get closer and closer, because the conference championships are in early December, and they do factor in this year in a major way. At A-Law Radio, thank you so much for all your kind words about the new puppy pictures. She is a trip. We've decided to change her name, actually. Oh, and I don't even think I revealed her name to you all yet. I didn't, right? Because I'm waiting until it's an official adoption. But we have started calling her by a particular name, though I think she's going to have a different nickname based on how destructive she is. Oh, my goodness. I haven't thrown those up yet on Facebook, but I will. Make sure you send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And if you want to see the high-profile prospects for our Turkey Day draft, check them out on our social media as well. That comes up at the very end of the show. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Pat Boyle.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, Blake Snell is headed to the Dodgers, reportedly for 5 years and $182 million. The two-time Cy Young Award winner opted out of the final year of his two-year contract with the Giants after a dominant second half of the season, and now he's joining the champions. There is deferred money in the contract, because why not? Reportedly up to $60 million is deferred. John Heyman reporting the signing bonus is for $52 million. Also, there's no opt-outs and a limited no-trade clause. Over to the CFP rankings, which came out a few hours ago. The top 4 are the same. That's undefeated Oregon, followed by Ohio State, Texas, and Penn State. Notre Dame jumps up to 5, and Indiana, they slide down to 10. The Hoosiers suffered their first loss of the season over the weekend. That was to the Buckeyes. Remember, though, the top conference champions get the top 4 seeds and the byes into the quarterfinals. So right now, that would be Oregon, Texas, Miami, and Boise State. To the hardwood, NBA Cup. They went to OT in Minnesota. The T-Wolves were saying, Houston, we have a problem.
Fred, top of the key to Şengün. Underhand toss to Dillon. Left side, baseline. floater, left-hand dribble, off the window and in for two more points. The Rockets have scored 9 in a row and lead 111-105.
Rockets radio the call that ignited Houston to a 117-111 win. They're a perfect 3-0 in group play, looking good to clinch a spot in the quarterfinal bracket round. Elsewhere, Giannis out with a knee injury for Milwaukee, so it was Dame time. 37 points and 12 rebounds for Damian Lillard. Bucks beat the Heat 106-103. Milwaukee back to 500. And Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal returned from injuries to help the Suns crush LeBron, AD, and the Lakers 127-100. After the game, LeBron keeping a level head.
Obviously throughout the course of the game, you're going to play better. It's that simple. When you don't, you know, obviously you get, you know, what can you do better? You're frustrated at times, obviously. But you never get frustrated with the process. That is what it is, and just keep working on it.
College hoops, number one Kansas stays unbeaten, survives 11th-ranked Duke 75-72 in Vegas. In Maui, number four Auburn still undefeated. They beat 12th-ranked UNC 85-72. And at a different tournament in Vegas, number nine Alabama outlasted 6th-ranked Houston 85-80 in overtime. I'm Pat Boyle.
Heat, I have one request before we do knockout.
Yes.
When we do our live segment on Twitch TV, which is 2 hours from now, final segment before Thanksgiving. First time ever that we're doing a live broadcast on Twitch, or really for me at all. You cannot play good music because I will start to bebop and dance around like I just did, and I do not want that to be on TV. So can we just agree? No music, boring. Amy will just sit here. She won't talk with her hands, except I get very animated about food. My husband says food is my love language. He's not wrong, which means that there's a good chance I'm going to make faces and be talking with my hands like a good Italian girl.
So even without music, it gets still going
to... Yeah, it could still be apparent, like really embarrassing for me. An apparent entertainment value that will go sky high when you can see what I do while I'm talking. I won't be eating, though. I'm not going to eat while we're talking.
Right. One step at a time.
All right.
All right. The knockout.
Boom!
Bill Belichick in 2025. One of the teams that has been linked to Belichick is the Bears. So will Belichick be coaching the Bears or coaching somewhere else?
So it's the Bears or the field?
Correct.
Interesting question. I like the Jacksonville option. I think that Shad Khan is more amenable to doing whatever it takes to try to win. I would say he's less traditional as an owner. He's taken a flyer, of course, on Urban Meyer in the past. That went horribly wrong. He ended up making the change before the season was done because he realized his error. But he brought in a Super Bowl winning coach in Doug Peterson. He was looking for a coach who had established track record and credibility. And he's got a great quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. That's a piece that's still working. I know they've dealt with injuries, but really the leadership, it's lacking now. And we know that Belichick will come in with a new attitude, with a new approach. And instantly he walks in the door and, okay, time to take care of our business. So I actually believe that if Jacksonville wants to establish itself as a team that is serious, right, so not the joke anymore, you got to go after a guy like Belichick. And I could see Shad Khan doing that. The Bears, sometimes I view that family as a little more traditional. And the last hire they took is a defensive coordinator. They need someone who will be about Caleb Williams and developing him, so I could see them go the offensive route this next time.
Got to get Bulky out of there, I think, in order for that to work.
Oh, yeah. No, he and Bill Belichick would not be working together.
No way.
Yeah.
Speaking of Bulky, which Harbaugh would you want at your Thanksgiving meal? Jim or John?
Oh, gosh. This is so hard. They're both such cool personalities. I'll go with Jim, only because I think the way he talks is goofy and funny. But John would be exceptional as well. He could bring John as his plus one. But I think Jim would be so much fun just in terms of the way he talks. And he tells funny stories and he comes up with lines. He reminds me so much of his dad. The clips that we get of his dad, it's like Jim is a prototype of his dad. They're both very quirky.
They look alike.
They do look a lot alike. They walk alike. They have the same build. I think I'll go with Jim. But again, neither option is the wrong one. I would love to hear his stories about, well, if it was open, about Trent Baalke and San Francisco, but about Michigan and then about getting back to the NFL and what's it like to work with the guy he says produces the sound of angels singing when he gets on the practice field, and Justin Herbert.
Now, Jim would be very inclined to go outside and play a game of pickup football.
He would.
Now, if you had a choice in a pickup game on Thanksgiving, would you rather play football with Gronk or basketball with Dan Hurley?
Oh, gosh. I think football with Gronk, only because he could spike it and it would be so much fun in your backyard to get that on video. It'd be priceless. Dan Hurley, though, never a dull moment. They lost again, did the UConn Huskies. And he's talking about, we'll hear from him this show, talking about how it's been a difficult few days. A lot of people pointing at him and saying he's the reason why they lost that game to Memphis. And I know it's hard to argue with what happened at the end of the game. He's so melodramatic. I suppose if he didn't like the way that we established the rules or a call went against him in our backyard basketball game, or I guess backyard football game, he might drop to his knees and then fall over as though he's been shot. But yeah, we'd have to get it on camera, because unfortunately there was somehow no camera, no video of him falling on the sidelines and showing up the officials in this game against Memphis.
Dodger fans are thankful, especially
are
with the signing of Blake Snell,
okay,
and them continuing to work in the free agent market as they always do.
Mm-hmm.
So will the Dodgers sign another top free agent first, or will Juan Soto find his new home?
I'll go Juan Soto, though we do, because Scott Boras is the agent for both Blake Snell and Juan Soto. And I think Boras and his team heard enough of guys being upset. Just the fact that they didn't like how last free agent round went, the free agent market was tepid, and a lot of it was because of the Boras demands and so many of those Boras clients being available. So I'll say that he's got Blake Snell now signed to a lucrative deal. He can work on Juan Soto. And we do know the offers are out there, right? So the offers have been made. Now it's about determining where Soto wants to go and how Boras can pit these teams against one another. So I'll say it's Soto, the next domino.
I said that there's a couple-step process to it, but one report indicated probably around the winter meetings for that to finally find an answer on Juan Soto. Black Friday shopping. Everyone does it on Black Friday. Caitlin Clark or Diana Taurasi would, as for the best partner to shop with.
Oh, huh. I think I'd go Caitlin Clark. Number one, I know she loves golf, so we could shop for golf duds and also golf equipment. I think it would be fun to go make a stop at Topgolf with Caitlin Clark. Could you imagine what a scene that would be? And also, right now, she is the it girl in sports. And I only say that because I would love to interview her. So if we could do a live Twitch broadcast, or we could be live on some other social media site and do a bunch of kind of goofy questions and get to know Caitlin Clark better, I think that would be radio and video and audio gold. Also, she's really hip. She's on Twitch. Did you see her and teammate Lexi Hall of the Fever going to a local establishment in the area, and they ordered a bunch of these kind of fun drinks that have different flavors and toppings and even some, I think, some pearls, some boba pearls in them. And all they did was try the drinks and determine which one was the best one. They were sitting in their car at a drive-in and were testing the drinks. And that's the kind of stuff that she will do that's so quote-unquote normal. So I think Caitlin, very down-to-earth, doesn't see herself as a superstar. Now, she's super competitive, and she thinks she's the best player on the court, as she should. She stands up for herself. She believes and has confidence in her abilities. But when it's away from the basketball court, she plays golf. She makes jokes. She goes to games. She really does enjoy just being an early 20-something. She doesn't act like she's a millionaire. She tries drinks on Twitch. I mean, seriously. So we're going to try to be like Caitlin Clark and do a live broadcast on Twix in a couple hours. But honestly, I think that's the appeal of Caitlin, is she really does come across as a girl next door who rocks at basketball. 2 hours down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.